Next is the Old Testament reading, and we're going to ask for responsive reading from the congregation. So if you'll please follow the screen. O Lord, who shall abide in your tent? Who shall dwell in your holy hill?
The one who walks blamelessly and does right and speaks truth from the heart.
Who does not slander with the tongue and does no evil to a friend, nor takes up a reproach against a neighbor.
In whose eyes a reproach is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord.
Who do not put out money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent.
The one who does these things shall never be moved.
Will you please join and rise?
I need the kiddos to join me, please. I've got M&Ms, Brighton, so you got to come up. It's part of the deal. Come on. How's it going today, friends? Briley, you going to come up too? You can. Come on. She's shy. I know. It happens. You're not shy, though, right, Brighton? No. So last week when we were here, Jack, you weren't here when I was here last week, we practiced saying our name in the microphone. Remember that? Was that okay? So can we practice something today? We're going to practice saying our favorite color in the microphone, okay? So can you say your favorite color?
Blue. Purple.
Purple, good.
Brown.
Brown, that's a different one. Okay, I like it. My favorite color is blue too, Jack. So I brought something with me today. It also has lots of different colors. Anyone know what these are? Thanks for raising your hand. I appreciate it.
Are they Skittles?
Oh, you saw my Skittles bag and you thought they were Skittles, but they're actually M&Ms. And M&Ms have lots of different colors. Can someone tell me one of the colors they see in here? Jack, what color are you seeing?
Green.
Green.
Blue.
Blue.
Yellow.
Very good. We got lots of different colors, don't we? And you know, did you know M&Ms are kind of like Christians? I bet you had no idea, right? Stand up. We're going to play a game. We're going to stand in a line, okay? Face everybody out here, okay? If you are a boy, take one step forward. Okay, good. If you have blue eyes, take one step forward. If you have ever lost a tooth, take a step forward. If you are wearing blue, take one step forward. I'm not sure if this is blue or green, but okay. Okay, so look around. We're kind of all over the place, aren't we? We got lots of different things about us, don't we? Come on and sit down. So M&Ms are like Christians because on the outside, we look a little bit different, don't we? Got all sorts of different things about us. But there's something unique about M&Ms that on the inside, they all have the same thing. Anyone know what it is? What's on the inside? Do you know? Chocolate, yeah, it's the good stuff, right? And on the inside of us, as Christians, we have the same thing too. And what that is we are filled with the good stuff, with God's love, right? So the interesting thing, though, is that sometimes just because there's an M on it, on the outside of an M&M, we know it's an M, like it labels an M&M, right? Just like we label ourselves as Christians, we call ourselves Christians, right? So I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to open this bag here. What if I put an M on one of these Skittles? Take one of those Skittles. Take one of these. Yep. Jack, you can. Go ahead. Brighton, you want a Skittle? So let's pretend we write an M&M, we write an M on there. We're going to label them like M&Ms, okay? Why don't you eat that Skittle real quick? Tell me, does it taste like an M&M because we labeled it with an M? Does it taste like an M&M? No, there's no chocolate in there, is there? Yeah, you were expecting it to be an M&M because it said an M on it, right? That we were thinking it had an M on it, and it wasn't. And you know that sometimes that happens with Christians, too. We call ourselves a Christian, and maybe we wear a cross necklace. Or we come to church and we pray, but then we also do some things that aren't very Christian-like. We're not sharing God's love, the stuff on the inside. So I want, can you guys hold your hands out like this? We're going to play another game. You tell me, thumbs up if you think what I'm describing is Christian-like, thumbs down if what I'm describing is not so Christian-like, okay? So here we go. You come to church on Sunday, But then when you go to school, you don't let someone sit with you at lunch. Is that Christian-like, if you don't really let someone sit with you at lunch? No. We came to church like Christians, but we didn't let anybody sit with us at lunch. That's not very nice, right? So what about if we say we love everyone like a Christian does, but then we don't share our toys with each other? What do you think? Is that very Christian-like? We're not really sharing God's love of forgiveness, right? And sharing, because he asked us to do that. How about one more time? How about we say our prayers like Christians, and then when we're out at recess, we play with someone who's lonely? Is that Christian-like? Yeah, that's kind of Christian-like. We're sharing God's love then, aren't we? Yeah. So that's something that we've got to do as Christians, is if we're going to call ourselves Christians, label ourselves like the M&M, we also have to make sure we're sharing what's inside of us, that love that God gave us, okay? So can you do a favor? Let's pray an echo prayer, okay? Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for filling us with your love. We pray that you will help us share your love with everyone. Amen. All right. And since there's not very many of you, we could have two bags of M&Ms.
Chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. One day, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, did not eat until they have poured water over their cupped hands as required by ancient traditions. Similarly, they did not eat anything from the market until they immersed their hands in water. But this is but one of the many traditions they have clung to, such as their ceremonial washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of religious law asked him, "Why don't your disciples follow our age-old tradition? They eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony." And Jesus replied, "You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God.'" Please remain standing while we sing our hymn, Sanctuary.
This morning's reading comes from James 1, 17 through 27. "Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Understanding this, my dear brothers and sisters, we must be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Human anger does not produce righteousness, God's desires. So get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God has planted in your hearts, for it is the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and do not obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and you do what it says, and don't forget what you have heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be righteous but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you." Here ends the reading. This morning's message is titled "Transformed by Truth." The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us like the Son of God. To become like Jesus, we must fill our lives with His Word. You know, it's somewhat quite ironic that there are more Bibles in print today than ever before. Millions of believers are still plagued with spiritual anorexia, starving to death from spiritual malnutrition. Why? Because in easy terms, a Bible on the shelf is as beneficial as a loaf of bread that's in the pantry. Its only benefit is when you take it out and feed on it. So let's examine a little bit in James 1 and see how God's truth can transform us to be like Jesus. I've got some points posted up. Number one, we have to accept its authority, found in James 1, 17 through 18. The second thing, absorb its truth. Take it in. James 1, 19 through 21. And apply its principles. James 1, 22 to 27. First thing, we must accept the authority of God's word. Whatever is good and perfect is the gift coming down from us from our God the Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose, I like this verse, he chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, are his prized possession. Isn't that awesome when you think about it? We're his prize. James tells us we must accept the authority of the Bible. The Bible must become the authority standard for our life. The compass that we rely on for direction. The counsel that we listen to for making wise decisions. The benchmark that we can use to evaluate everything. The Bible must always have the first and last word in our life. A lot of times our troubles occur because we base our choices on unreliable sources. Some of those sources could be culture, because everyone's doing it. It could be tradition, because we've always done it that way. It could be reason, because to me it seemed logical. It could be emotion, just because it felt right or felt good. All four of these are flawed by the fall, which is why they never provide any ultimate solutions to the wars that we face and battle in this world. What we need is a perfect standard that will never lead us in the wrong direction. And what meets that standard? God's word. Only God's word. Solomon reminds us, every word of God is flawless. That's in Proverbs 35. Paul explains, everything in scriptures is God's word. It's useful for teaching and helping people, and for correcting them and showing them how to live, found in 2 Timothy 3:16. To be a healthy disciple of Jesus, feeding on God's words, he must be our first priority. Jesus said, if you hold on to my teachings, you are my disciples. And that is found in John 8:31. God's word is unlike any other word. It's alive. Jesus said, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. John 6:63. When God speaks, things change. Everything around all of you, creation exists because God said it. He spoke it into existence. Without God's word, we would not even be alive. We wouldn't be here worshiping this morning. And that's why I go back to James 18, in verse 18, says, I chose to give us, by giving us the true word, and we become his prized possession. That's awesome. It's awesome. The Bible is more than a formal doctrinal guideline or a guidebook. It's God's word that generates life. It creates faith. It produces change. It frightens the devil. It causes miracles. It hurts, heals hurts. It builds character, transforms circumstances. It imparts joy. It overcomes adversary, infuses hope, releases power. You get this list? Cleanses our mind. It brings us to him, brings us into being, guarantees forever, guarantees by his word of what he says. We should never take it for granted. In my workplace, I use manuals and booklets and help things all the time in repairing farm machinery, guidance books, helps me through problems, helps me through situations, helps me to understand things that I'm doing. So does this book. But this one gives me eternal life. The most important decision you can make today is to settle this issue of what will be the ultimate authority in my life. Decide what, regardless of culture, tradition, reason, or emotion, you choose the Bible as your final authority. Determine first, what does the Bible say when making decisions? Resolve that when God says to do something, you'll trust God's word and do it, whether it makes sense or not, or whether you feel like doing it. Paul's statement is this: I believe everything that agrees with the law and that is written in the prophets. That was in Acts 24:14. To be transformed by the truth, we must first accept its authority. Secondly, we must absorb the truth. Take it in. Verse 19, it says, understand this, my dear brothers, you must be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So get rid of all the filth and all the evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God that has planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save your souls. It's not enough just to believe the Bible. We must fill our mind with it. Then the Holy Spirit can transform us into what he wants. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us like the Son of God.
Say that again.
The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us like the Son of God. That is why you should consider it essential in your life as food. Job said, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. God's word to Job was food. It was his daily bread. As he stated here, it's more valuable than his own life. God's word is spiritual nourishment, and you must have to fulfill your purpose. The Bible is called, in some references, our milk, our bread, our solid food, our sweet dessert. It's a four-course meal, the Spirit's meal, for spiritual strength and for spiritual growth. Peter says in 1 Peter 2, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Spiritual food. I'd like to bring your attention to here are four ways to do this. And you kind of think about it on your fingers. You can receive it, research it, remember it, reflect on it. These are four things to help absorb in God's word. First thing, you must receive it. James tells us plain. It's plain in Scripture. Humbly accept the word of God as planted in your hearts. Read it. I like how the Amplified version writing of the Bible puts it more graphically. It says, in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word, which implanted and rooted in your hearts, contains the power to save your souls. You accept God's word when you read or listen to it and receive it with an open, receptive attitude. The parable of the sower illustrates how our receptiveness determines whether or not God's word is taken root in our lives, that it bears fruit. Jesus identified these three attitudes in a closed mind, which was the hard soil, a superficial mind, which was the shallow soil, and a distracted mind, which was soil in the weeds. And then he said, carefully consider how you listen. And that is out of Luke 8:18. We can't watch TV for 3 hours and then read the Bible for 3 minutes and expect to grow. If you read the Bible 15 minutes a day, every day, you will read completely through it in 1 year. If you cut out one 30-minute television program a day and read your Bible, you'll read the Bible twice in 1 year. Daily Bible reading will keep you in range of God's voice. A simple tool that is helpful for this is a daily Bible reading plan. It'll prevent you from just skipping around and overlooking sections. But to absorb the truth, we must first receive God's word. Secondly, we must research God's word. James 25 says, "But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it." The difference between reading and studying the Bible involves two additional activities. Asking questions of the text and writing down your insights is very helpful things to do if you really want to study and take in the Bible. You can write it down on a piece of paper. You can write it down on your computer. Just something that you can go back and look on to review and enlarge on them. The secret of good Bible studying is simply learning how to ask the right questions. Different methods use different questions. You'll discover far more, I think, if you ask the simple questions. Who, what, when, where, why, how. Another way of good study, you can ask yourself, what did the original writer want the original reader to learn? Or what's he telling him? And how does this apply to my life? That's another way that's a very helpful tool in studying the Bible. So first, we must receive God's word. Second, we must research it, study it. And then we must remember God's word. James 25 says, do what it says and don't forget what you've heard. Your capacity to remember is a God-given gift. At 55, I question that some days because it's like, oh, I got up this morning. That's a good, I remember to do that. But you may have a poor memory. But the truth is, we all have millions of ideas. We have truths. We have facts. We have figures that are memorized. PIN numbers? Yeah. You remember what's important to you in life. Is God's word important? Will you take the time to remember it? As a young Christian, I remember writing one verse down, sticking it in my wallet or in my pocket. And once in a while during the day, I'd look at this verse. And that's how I slowly became, how I came to Christ at a young age. Just those little things, but little reminders. And when I needed it, I had it. As a grown-up, I have two things in my second drawer in my toolbox at work. One is a Bible, the other is a devotional. 5 minutes in the morning, and I'm charged up. Sometimes at noon, 5 minutes, another charge. Helpful tools. I have pocket-sized ones. They fit perfect. It's great. That helps me memorize and helps me study and helps me learn the Word of God. And there's enormous benefits to memorizing Bible verses. It'll help you to resist temptation. It'll help you make wise decisions, reduce stress, build confidence, give good advice to others, and share your faith with others, most importantly. Your memory is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it will become. And memorizing scripture will become easier as you use that muscle. You can memorize scripture anywhere. Working, exercising, driving, waiting somewhere, doctor's office, or at bedtime. Three keys to memorizing scripture are review, review, review. The Bible says, remember what Christ taught and let his words enrich your lives and make you wise. Colossians 3:16. To assimilate its truth, we first must receive God's word, research God's word, remember God's word, and fourthly, we must reflect on God's word, meditate on God's word. The fourth way to abide in God's word is to reflect on it. And this is what the Bible calls meditation. Bible meditation is simply focused thinking. It's a serious effort. You select a verse and reflect on it over and over in your mind. It's not really that complicated or difficult. In fact, you probably already do it at times. You might be doing it right now. What do I mean by that? I know how, if you know how to worry, you already know how to meditate. Right? Because you constantly think about it. But worry is focused thinking on something that's negative. Meditation is focused thinking on something positive. It's about focusing on God's word instead of your problem. Remember the How to Fix It manual? No other habit can do more to transform your life and make you more like Jesus than daily reference and reflection and meditation on Scripture. As we take time to contemplate God's truth, seriously reflecting on the examples of Christ, we are transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. And those are words out of 2 Corinthians 3:18. If you look up all the times that God speaks about meditation in the Bible, you'll be amazed at the benefits that He's promised to those who take time and effort to reflect on His word throughout the day. One of the reasons God called David a man after His own heart, that's in Acts 13. As David loved to reflect on God's word, and out of Psalms 119, 97, he said, "How I love your teachings. I think about them all day long. A man after my own heart." Serious reflection on God's truth is a key to answering prayer and the secret to successful life. All right, let's recap a little bit. If you want to be transformed by truth, we must receive God's word, research God's words, remember God's words, and reflect on God's word. In doing those things, we accept the authority of God's word. We absorb God's word. But as you know, it's difficult to hold on to something even with all four fingers, receiving, researching, remembering, reflecting on God's word, unless we do what with them? There's one more step in this whole process, and our last point. Apply the principles of God's word. Verse 22, and James says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says." To become like Jesus, we must become doers of the word. And this is the hardest step of them all because Satan fights it so intensely. He doesn't mind you going to Bible study as long as you don't do anything with what you've learned. James says that it is bad as someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after going away immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who intently looks into the perfect law, it'll give him freedom. And continue to do this and not forgetting what he has heard, but by doing, he will be blessed. We fool ourselves when we assume that just because we've heard or read or studied a truth, that we've internalized it. Actually, we can get so busy going on to our next service or seminar or Bible conference that we forget to implement what we've learned. Without implementing the Bible, these studies are worthless. And that's what Jesus says. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And that's words from Matthew 7. Jesus also pointed out that God's blessings come from obeying the truth, not just knowing it. He said, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." John 17:13. You know, this is why it's important to discuss your personal applications with other people. We always learn from each other and truths that we'd never learn on our own. Other people help us to see insights that maybe we'd miss and can help us apply God's truth in a practical way. Sometimes a way to become a good doer of the word is to have a plan of action, to have a step of action. Maybe this action could be writing down things like personally, okay, involving me, how do I apply? Practically, something that we can do. How can I apply the scripture to something I can do? And then make a deadline to do these things. To be a doer of the word. James ends this passage with some very personal and practical application. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless in this. To look after, here's the words, he said, look after the orphans, the widows, in their distress, and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That's a little paraphrase, but that's what he's meaning. Every application will involve either you in your relationship to God, your relationship to other, your personal character, and in many cases, all three of them. Applying the word of God can increase your relationship to God. Build your personal character. Help someone else. All right, we've been thinking through what it means to be transformed by truth. To find ourselves on the victorious side of the war of the worlds that we go through. We need to what? There they are. Accept the authority. Absorb the truth. Apply the principle of God's word. Here's a challenge. Before next week, spend some time thinking about this question. What has God already told me to do in his word that I haven't started doing yet? And then write it down. And write some action statements down. How does this personally involve me? How it involve others? What am I going to do with it? How can I act on it? Maybe tell a friend for some accountability. God's telling me to do this. I don't know. D.L. Moody once said, the Bible was not given to increase your knowledge, but to change your life. The only legitimate weapon of Christ's followers is our fight against evil is the Word of God. This is because international disputes, just as much as our own personal tensions, can ultimately be transformed by the truth of God, by His Word. We are indeed at war, and our weapon's the Word of God. Whose side are you on? Are you being transformed? Let's pray. Gracious Father, we pray. We praise you, Lord, for your guidance and your leading through your wonderful word. As we study and pour out our lives into knowing you more, Father, show us truth and meaning of each word, each verse and chapter in the scriptures that you've inspired and you've brought to life. Open up our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds to receive what you want us to receive each and every day. Give us a clear leading in our lives so that we can be a witness to others and the wonderful eternal life that you offer through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, forgive us when we fall short of living for you by your rules. Take our pride and selfishness away from us so that we can experience the joy that you've spoken about in today's word. Father, we give you all the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.